When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Zone. Today we're going to cover a couple of new items, and we're going to talk about some news items that are either recently developing or in the process of developing. And we should have a pretty interesting bit of stuff to talk about. A lot of things are popping in the tax fraud industry. A lot of stuff is going on, and the fact that these folks are starting to really tear into the community is an indication that we are becoming a force to be reckoned with, that we are becoming a threat. And that should encourage us. And the more that they resist and the more that they scream and flail around, the more effect you and I are having with the efforts that we're making to make the public aware that they're being robbed, that they're being stolen from. It's a terrific fall afternoon. Summer, I think, is about to lay down and go rest for a while. It'll be a good break from the 100-degree weather we've been having down here in the sweltering south. I know that up in the mountains and whatnot, you might be thinking a little differently as you're battening down all of your hatches, looking at October as the beginning of a housebound season. But down here, it's a pleasant day, and we're going to have a pleasant 2 hours here talking about taxes. We have no guests today, and as is, I've told you before, my favorite guests are you, and you can be a guest on this program and contribute to the discussion by calling in at 1-800-313-9443. We'll be taking calls throughout the program today, unlike last week when we had guests that we wanted to devote the first hour to discussion with and didn't open up calls until the second hour. But this time, we'll be talking to you. You are my guests, and you're certainly welcome to come on and talk to us about your views, your questions, your comments. And what facilitates learning is by kicking the can around, and that's what we like to do here. We'll also continue with a bit like I said, news on the tax front. Last week we had Joel and Chris Hansen on, who talked about their big victory in Las Vegas. They had 189 counts, and the government got zero convictions. They did not touch a single one of those nine defendants, and many of those defendants were completely cleared. A number of hung jury counts, but a hung jury, you have to remember, those people that are accused are innocent men and women. They go into that courtroom innocent, and they stay innocent until a jury of their peers says otherwise, and so far, they went into the courtroom innocent, and they came out of that courtroom just as innocent as when they walked in. I count that as a victory. Whether there was a not guilty verdict or whether it was a hung verdict, no jury has pronounced them guilty of any kind of crime. That is a successful defense. I've been defending people for 35 years. As long as your man remains innocent, you have defended him successfully. And we'll be back and talk about this and a lot more here in just a few minutes on the Live Free Zone.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Welcome back. We are back up and running here on the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. And I want to start out today's program with a continuation of a little bit that we've been experimenting with. I've been receiving some positive feedback on this, and would love to hear your comments on it as to what you would like to hear about, what you would like to know more about. But we're going to start with explaining something about a particular aspect of the tax law, particularly focusing on those aspects that the public has been misinformed or disinformed about. Want to remind you, though, that 3 weeks ago, we left the program with a homework assignment for you folks. And I suggested that what you need to do is sit down and figure out, pull out your Constitution, we talked about McCulloch v. Maryland and said that the government can tax anything it can govern, but it can only govern those things that it has a right under the Constitution to regulate. So what I asked each of you to do was to dig up and find in the Constitution that part of the federal government's foundational instrument, its power of attorney, so to speak, that allows it to govern and therefore to tax any activity that you're engaging in, you personally are engaging in. So I'm really looking forward to getting that homework. You've had a couple extra weeks because I missed the show 2 weeks ago because I was on the road and Mr. Larry Beecraft filled in for me. Thank you, Larry. And then last week we devoted the program to the major news that was breaking in Las Vegas, and we had on guests Joel and Chris Hansen talking about the Kerry case in Las Vegas. But now the homework's due, folks. It's time. You can call in with your homework at 1-800-313-9443. Let's see how many of you we can find that the government has the authority to regulate the activity that you engage in to make a living, and if they can tax it. We're going to talk about that all through the program, and we're going to talk about whatever other items are of interest that you might want to bring up. But it's 1-800-313-9443. Now, what we want to talk about today is income. And we've touched base on this with different callers, different discussions that we've had. But what we want to do today is just kind of put it all together in one pot and see how it shakes out. We've been told all our lives that whatever comes in is income. And if you go doing a little digging, it doesn't take long to find out that no, that's not true. And we know that that's not true. If somebody gives you a gift of $100, that's not income. If you inherit $100, that's not income. So we know that everything that comes in is not income. The question is, are all earnings income? And that's where all of us are being misled, misinformed, disinformed. Partly because the vernacular use of the word income has come to mean your annual revenues, what you take in, what you earn over the course of a year. That guy has an income of $50,000 a year. This fellow has an income of $150,000 a year. That's a misuse of the word, though, because whenever you're talking about laws, we're all wordsmiths now. We're not talking to Joel, you know, at the corner bar or at the bus stop. We're talking about specific words that have specific meanings. And income has a specific meaning, and it is not the meaning that most of us think of when we say, what is your income? It's not what comes in. Now, to begin with, the first issue on this came up with respect to the corporate franchise tax from 1909, and in that case was a case called Stratton's Independence. The court held, the Supreme Court held, that the that income is gain from conversion of capital. Now, whenever you go to look for a meaning of a word like that, you can also find definitions in the statutes. There are a whole string. 7701 has lots of definitions, and then the other definitions are scattered throughout the code, the Internal Revenue Code, that assign specific meanings to specific words. And oftentimes those meanings are not what you and I would think when we heard that word, that's what it means. It means something more specific, more restrictive, more qualified. And only the definition can provide the answer to what does that word mean for the purpose of the income tax law. But you're not going to find a definition of income. The most common reference that's provided by the IRS is the definition of gross income. And it defines gross income as income derived from a whole list of sources, the first of which is compensation for services. Now, there's a big difference between income being compensation for services, which is what the IRS has been telling people all these years, and the real definition of gross income, even, because gross income is only income derived from compensation for services. That's a big difference, because then that means, what do they mean by derived from? And whenever you start looking into the law, you find that the big case will tell us the answer as to why none of that is actually in the code. Gross income is defined as income, so that doesn't define income. You know, you say an automobile is an automobile with four wheels. Well, that would mean that you know, only automobiles with four wheels would be considered automobiles. Well, this is income is income. That doesn't tell you anything. So what exactly is income? The next installment that we get from the Supreme Court is in Doyle v. Mitchell Brothers. And in that case, the Supreme Court said that gross receipts, what you receive in exchange for something, in a conversion of capital, is not income. Never has been and never was meant to be income. Well, what does that gross receipts, the total amount that you receive in exchange for something, sound like? What about what you earn at your job? Is what you get at the end of the week or at the end of the month, is that income or is that your gross receipts? Is that the total price of what you give in exchange? So the Supreme Court tells us then that there's a formula for determining. They said that it's only the gain or profit that is income. And in order to determine if you have income, you have to first determine if you have any gain. And in order to do that, you have to deduct from the gross receipts the total amount you received, what came in, and deduct from that the capital, what you gave in exchange. Now, if you sell... You buy a piece of property for $10, you sell it for $15, you have a $10 capital investment in whatever that item was. And you sold it for $15, then that $10 deducted from the $15 would say that you had realized a $5 gain. But then, you know, we still don't really have the whole picture, because remember when we said about gross income being income derived from compensation for services. And we finally get the answer to that in Eisner versus McComber, another Supreme Court case. And in that case, the Supreme Court tells us that not all gain is income. So we know now that the gross receipts, the amount that came in, is not income. And we know that in order to determine if you have income, you first have to have gain. So we have to back out what was invested in order to receive these gross receipts, what came in. And so now we find out that even if you have a gain, that gain is not income unless you can derive it from the gross receipts. Now, we finally get a definition of this derived from, an explanation. And in Eisner v. McComber, it's the first time I've ever seen, and maybe even the only time I've ever seen, the Supreme Court actually raising its voice at Congress. It virtually yells at Congress and at the government. And it says, no, listen to this. You're missing out. Derived from capital. Or labor, or both. Derived from, and it keeps repeating that. And it says distinguishable from, separable from. And what it goes on to explain is that in order to call gain income, you must be able to separate the capital from the profit. So, if you cannot separate the capital from the profit, even if you had a profit, then it is not income. Now, let's take a look at that from our perspective as people who work for a living. If we give up, if we, you know, sold a piece of property we paid $10 for and we get $15 for it, then yes, we've gained. But what about selling our labor? And we're going to continue with that in just a few minutes here on the Lie Free Zone. Huh.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Here on the Live Free Zone, running a little over on our classroom, at, you know, part of the program, but I want to finish up on this question of income. What we've figured out today, incidentally, didn't get to on Eisner, but Eisner did tell us why there is no definition in the Internal Revenue Code of the word income. Income is a constitutional term. What if income means a lot of things, then Congress has greater taxing power. If it only means a few things, it has lesser taxing power. Well, if you allow Congress to define the scope of the word income, the meaning of the word income, you're allowing it to define its own constitutional scope, its own constitutional power. Congress isn't allowed to define constitutional boundaries. Only the Supreme Court can do that. So, as they held in Eisner, the Supreme Court pointed out, only the Supreme Court can tell us what income is. And that's why gross income is defined as income that is derived from compensation for services. And can you derive, can you say, like in the $10 and $15 example, where the $5 was derived from, and I have my $10 back. It's intact. I can spend the $5 separate. I can give it away. I can do whatever I want to with it. But I still have my $10, and it hasn't been injured by my use and enjoyment of that $5 gain that I derived from the $15 sale. You can't say the same thing for your personal earnings, though, can you? The way that I like to explain it is that if I rent a gallon of milk, so to speak, and the the payback of the milk or loan about a gallon of milk. Payback is that you have to give me back a gallon of milk and a pint of cream. I can skim that cream off of the milk. I still have my milk. I have my gallon, what I started with. And I've got a pint of cream I can use to put my coffee or put on my blackberry cobbler and whatever I want to do with it. I can give it away, drink it. I can use it to cook with. But I've still got my gallon of milk. Now, with wages, the way that that comes back is you might get your gallon of milk back, but what's added to it is water. So how do you skim that water out of there? How do you derive that water? How do you get that profit off of your capital that you gave up? And do you ever get it back? If you spend every penny that you receive for wages, can you get that day back? It's gone forever. So, no, it's impossible to derive income from labor, from wages, from personal earnings, fees, commissions. So that hopefully gives everybody a little better idea of the breakdown, that what comes in is not income. What comes in is gross receipts, only the gain, and then only if that gain can be derived from and used separate and apart, leaving the capital, which you invested, uninjured, still intact. Impossible to do when you're having to pay for that money with a part of your life that you have spent and is gone forever. We want to start going on to the phones here. We've got a couple of callers stacked up. We got Joe in Massachusetts. How are you doing, Joe? Hello? Manny, did I rush Joe? We must be having some kind of problem. So we'll just continue on. We've got to look at a couple of news items here that are developing. Naturally, the big one is the Kerry case going for a goose egg for the government last week. Just recently, another major news release went out that they're going to just pick another 13,000 victims, and for no reason, just at random, they're going to go in and call them in and audit them. And one of the things that the fellow that was being interviewed over that particular new project is that they're trying to instill nervousness, he called it. It said that it's good for the IRS for people to be nervous about the IRS. Now, that's exactly what I think people like, terrorists would want. I want you to be afraid of me. I want you to be afraid of what I might do. And then because of that, you'll behave differently. Now, if I can change your behavior, if I can change the way you live your life by using fear, then that makes me a terrorist. And so what have we got here? I mean, if we've got an institution, part of our own government, that is fueled and is enabled because it's able to frighten people into behaving the way they want them to, how is that any different from any other terrorist organization? Do we need to have Homeland Security go have a talk with the IRS? Do we need to do something with that? In addition to that, you've got other developments that are going on. The federal government Congress has given the IRS a large chunk of money to enable it to automate their entire collection process. Right now, if you receive a deficiency notice or a bill, it doesn't matter to them, because you're not talking to a person. You can't communicate. You're dealing from that point forward with a computer. And we're going to work it out. We'll hammer out our call problems here during the break. And then we'll get right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10. $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
Can you hear me, Tommy?
Yes, sir. I can hear you fine.
Glad. I'm a first-time caller. I'm having trouble getting my friend to listen on the Listen Live link. He can't find the Listen Live link on the RBN website. Tell me. Well,
it's right there on the home page. If he clicks on Listen Live, it'll pull up another page, which then allows him to select his media player.
Yeah, I told him, but he couldn't find, because I sent him a link, but he couldn't find it. But my question, I'm a visually impaired person. My question, we were talking about what are your views on government? I'm glad you did what you did, but he was telling me if everybody did this, the government would collapse. Are you for or against Social Security? Because what would happen to people like me who have a visual impairment and who are on Social Security and don't have good families? Like, you know, I mean, I don't like living off the government any more than anybody else. But if everybody did this, because Ron Paul told me, he says, if I was in office, he says, and it worked because you have to fight the Congress. You would be treated much better. You would be handled much better. And you know, how would you?
Let's stop and take a look at that.
In other words, how would you, as a president, Crier, become the boss?
Well, you see, the president can't do it.
Yeah.
The president can't do it, so you'd have to make me dictator, Cryer.
All right.
As a matter of fact, I've been asked to run for office before. I said, no, I won't run for office. Now, you make me dictator for 5 years, I'll hand you the country back free.
Okay.
In 5 years. But I'd have to be the dictator for 5 years while I was doing it.
Which is pretty bad.
But, you know, because we've done so much damage, Joe, that you can't just undo it. People have come to believe that it's government's role to take care of us.
That's what we were taught.
And that's not true. It's the whole reason that this country became free in the first place is that Americans were self-reliant. And because they didn't rely on England their defense and for their security and for their advancement or even survival, then they were free. They were independent.
Yeah, but what about insurances and people that are on need Section 8 housing and all that?
Well, that's part of the dependency. We have generated a false and improper dependency. Now, the question isn't so much as to whether people should help other people. The question is, on what level?
Yeah.
Now, let's take the federal, for instance. If what's happening with the income tax?
Mm-hmm.
The income tax is not all of the money that government is spending.
Okay.
It's only a portion of it. They have 25 other taxes or more now, probably, that they collect a great deal of money from. They've got all of interstate commerce. You know, you hear all of this stuff about all of the importing that comes into this country. Every bit of that's subject to taxation at just any rate that they want. I mean, they have no shortage of taxing subjects.
No, that's true.
Okay. Now, if what happens, though, is that the federal government, by tapping into the taxation of labor, which was never intended to happen, not even by the 16th Amendment,
mm-hmm.
that the taxing of labor has enabled this government to grow far, far beyond its intended size. The Founding Fathers put the government on a 1,500-calorie diet. They said you can tax activities, privileged activities, and you can tax those activities that you have the right to regulate. And you could even tax property. But if you tax property or you tax persons, you make a mandatory tax.
Yeah.
You're going to have to send that tax bill to the state, and we will decide where to get the money. You don't.
Okay.
Now, who do you want to decide how deep to dig into your pocket, your state representative or a senator?
Should I say my state representative?
You should say your state representative because he's more likely to listen to you than a senator is, isn't he?
Okay, fine.
Aren't you going to want somebody who's paying attention to you?
Yes.
To make that decision?
Yes.
That's the whole idea. See, if you have something come up that the federal government needs money for, time of war, time of crisis, they can get that money by asking the states for it. And the states have got to pony it up, but the states decide who to get it from and what to tax to get it. They can pay it out of their treasury if they want.
So my question is, you are against Social Security and all these co-security and this and that?
I'm not against benefits to people who are in need of assistance. I'm not against benefits to people who are, as in your case, disabled. My wife was severely disabled for 12 years. We managed to take care of her without one penny of government assistance.
How is she now? Better?
She died in 1999.
Oh, I'll give you my condolences.
But
you're against government, government-dependent. Well, then who would
take... It's a question of which government.
Yeah.
It's a question of which government.
State government.
The responsibility for taking care of ourselves starts with us,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes to our neighbor, and then it goes to our community, our neighborhood.
But, Tom, we have people today that don't give a damn about anybody today.
Well, you know why? Because we think it's somebody else's job now.
Exactly. Like when I was being mistreated and there was violence, it wasn't a sex thing. It was just violence in the home and abuse and scared.
Yeah.
Nobody would do anything. They would all talk.
It's all somebody else's job.
Exactly.
That's right. It's not my job. How many times do you hear that even in the private sector now?
Yeah.
I asked a clerk in a Walmart a while back. I was looking for something, and she says, well, you know, this isn't really my department. I said, I'm sorry. I thought that you were closer to my age. And she said, well, I am. I said, I didn't think you were part of that's not my job generation. And she kind of hung her head and says, I'll go find it for you. And she did.
She didn't want to.
Well, that's what it was. But the thing is, if we have to, it's a double-edged sword, Joe. We not only have to tell the government, this is none of your business. We have to tell each other, hey, it's up to us. And, you know, there were visually impaired people 100 years ago. How did they do? How did they manage?
I don't think they got very far, did they? I mean, from what
I'm not so sure about that. You had a lot of disabled people that got quite far. You had one guy that couldn't get out of a bathtub, and he became president of the United States.
Yeah, but we have agencies now are supposed to help people. You get special products, but it's so hard to get them. What would you do without these agencies? Where would we get the benefits from the state?
Exactly. Now you're getting the hang of it. You see, take, for example, just hypothetically, take all of the money. What state do you live in?
Massachusetts. Yeah.
All right, Massachusetts has a lot of commerce.
Yes,
it's a big importing state. You know, this, that, and the other. You got a lot of tourism, a lot of money going on. It's got a pretty good tax base, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, very
but
good.
But the federal government has come into Massachusetts, and they've sucked all of the oxygen out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And now Massachusetts has to go, if they want to build a street, if they want to redo a subway.
They have to go to the government.
That's right. They go to the federal government.
Everybody goes to the federal government.
That's right. And when that money, what they're doing is they're saying, hey, you stole all the money out of my state. All of the loose change is gone. I have some of that back. Can I have some of the loot? After all, you got it from my people.
Yeah.
And so the government says, yeah, you can have it back. But you can have some of it back, a little bit of it.
Yeah, not that much.
All right. But there are going to be strings attached.
Yeah, which
and,
I hate.
The strings are that you state legislators have got to start ignoring the people that elected you and do what I tell you. You'll set your drinking age where I tell you. You'll set your speed limits like I tell you. You'll run your schools the way I tell you. What's happening here? The responsibility for all of those things is being moved to D.C. and away from your community.
The government should not be running our schools. I was talking to Elliot about this. He says, well, then we wouldn't have any schools.
We'd have great schools. We'd have better schools. We had better schools when I was a kid, and the federal government wasn't involved in public schools than they have now.
How would we get
My generation was able to read their diplomas.
Yeah.
Without moving our lips, even.
How would we get our benefits, Tom? Because believe me,
that's
I don't like...
terrific. That's terrific. If all of that money stayed at home in Massachusetts, it's being stolen by the tax on labor.
Yeah.
If you just imagine if only half of that was sent to the state and to the county and to the city, and the other half stayed in households, what effect would that extra half of that in households have on the standard of living of people in Massachusetts? What effect would it have on the number of jobs being created? What effect would it have on the Massachusetts economy?
I assume it would
be fantastic.
The reason I'm asking these questions, because I hear another libertarian, Raleigh James, and she's for a total libertarian. If you go into a store and they don't want to sell to you, they don't have to and all that. I have mixed feelings. I mean, I see your point, but, you know, I mean, stores have no right to refuse somebody or something like that. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know why not. I mean, if they want to turn down business, I mean, it sounds sort of stupid to me, but if somebody wants to be stupid...
This guy has a store that he won't sell to you unless you know what you want to buy. You can't go in and browse. He'll throw you out.
Well, in that case, he's probably not destined to stay in business very long, is he?
Yeah.
But the point is that if the other half of that money that they're stealing, instead of going to D.C., it went to your state and your local government without all those federal strings attached.
Okay.
What kind of schools could you have then? What kind of agencies and assistance?
But the state would have to do it. The state would have to build the schools properly and make sure the people get what they're supposed to get.
You bet. And that's part of the myth that's been created is that states aren't capable of doing what the federal government is doing. I have yet to find one single thing that the federal government is doing that the states couldn't do better.
That's true.
And I have yet to find one single thing that the states are doing that we couldn't do better.
But you would have to get rid of all the congressmen, get a new congress in there. Because the congressmen are now making millions.
Boy, now you're making my mouth water. You're trying to make me hot, Joe. Getting rid of Congress would be the best thing ever happened in this country. We've got two parties running this country now. We're not running it anymore.
No.
The people that are in Congress don't represent you and me. They represent their party.
That's right.
And the only difference between the two parties is over who gets to drive the bus over the cliff.
Yeah, and they all get retirement benefits and everything.
Oh, and they're immune from the laws that they pass.
That's right.
Now, your state legislator, on the other hand, he has to live in a community with you.
Yeah.
He has to live under the same laws he makes. And that's where the money needs to go. That's where your agencies need to be. That
but
and
now,
local agencies.
But
and
now,
you,
Florida
if you take responsibility instead of palming it off,
okay.
Then your neighbors and your family would also take a different look at your particular situation.
All right, one last thing. I'm going to try and call you in the week. You seem like an interesting man. You're one of the few lawyers that I like.
I don't like many lawyers either.
I know, but they charge so much. Now, like Florida, my family wanted me to move to Florida, but we get no SSI down there. That's states' rights. How would that straighten out? I mean, I agree there's a lot of people that shouldn't be. A lot of these people that come in from other countries that are getting everything.
Well, that's...
I get SSI up here, okay, which is nothing,
yeah.
You know, 700
well,
a month.
Well, you see, if your family thought that they were responsible, if your neighbors thought that they were responsible, if your city thought that they were responsible
yeah.
for helping you, you'd have a heck of a lot more people helping you than you have right now.
Yeah, some families are close.
The people who are providing assistance to you right now could care less about you. They don't know your name. All they know is your number.
Yeah, I agree. Some families are wonderful.
It's not a question of some families are wonderful. All families are wonderful. It's just some have more problems than others.
Okay, mine don't care. Let's put it that way.
But they don't care because it's not their job.
Yeah.
They've been taught that, hey, Joe can't see very well, and so the government's responsible for taking care of Joe.
That's what my father did. He sent me to a government school. The state paid for it, Perkins School in Boston.
Yeah.
It was a private school, but it was paid for by the state agency of New Jersey.
We'll be grateful it wasn't a federal school.
Thank God, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, start looking at it from that standpoint. There's plenty of money for the federal government. If you took the budget, the federal budget, and put it next to the things that Congress is supposed to be doing,
mm-hmm.
you'd find that 56% of that federal budget is for things that Congress has no business messing with.
So you're saying states would give us benefits like Social Security or something like that?
The states would have programs. The cities would have programs. Churches would have programs. Neighborhoods would have programs. If we thought that it was our job to do that.
But how do we bring this back, Tom? It's gone too far now. We got everybody.
Oh, you might be right, and I hope not, though. We have
everybody...
to bring it back by reminding everybody that if we're going to be free, if we want to be free, we have to live free first. We have to deserve that freedom.
Can I ask one more question, then I'll let you go? I have mixed feelings on the Constitution. These people that come over here, they get all our benefits and our rights, like Mexico, for instance. You can't go to Mexico and vote and buy up all the property. Don't you think that if we do have a good Constitution, we should amend it so that can't happen when these people
come
over?
Well, the Constitution has nothing to do with that. The immigration laws do. The Constitution gives Congress the power to make immigration laws. And naturalization laws, and they've made laws. The problem is, and this is why I don't understand why everybody's screaming for immigration reform. How do you know if you need to reform the laws if you haven't tried the ones you have?
So what shall we do, stop immigration?
I don't think you should stop immigration, but you should certainly stop illegal immigration.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as illegal immigration. You have an illegal burglary. You have illegal breaking and entering. You have illegal trespassing.
But you don't
have illegal. An immigrant is somebody who has papers that says, I have permission to be here, and I'm in the process of becoming an American.
And these people don't want to.
I'm in the process of learning how to be an American.
These people don't want to, like the old Italian people. They come in here now, they don't even speak English, Tom. You know what I mean?
Well, very many of them had trouble learning. Just like anybody else, if I'm 58,
I'm the same.
I would have trouble learning to speak Italian.
Yeah,
but if I went to Italy, I'd learn to speak it. And the people who come here from Italy, the ones that came over here because of all the unrest,
yeah.
pre-war and the Depression, they worked very hard at becoming Americans.
Yeah, and they got rid of their old country. They severed ties. I've met people today that...
Yeah, they didn't come over here to be hyphenated. They came over here to build a new life for their family and for their descendants.
They come over here now. They send money back to their own country, and that's all they want. They don't care about being American.
That's right, and it's because they're not taking on an obligation. They're not saying, I'm here to be an American. They're saying, I'm here to be an interloper. I'm a trespasser.
How do you straighten that out? That's my question.
You seal up the border to start with, and you start locating all of the illegal invaders, all of the trespassers, the illegal aliens, and you put them back on their side of the river.
And what about the people that bought all our property, the Japanese that are buying this and the town?
Well, now, there you're talking about economic management, and certainly there's some problems there because we are very, very much in debt to foreign countries, and Japan is only one of them.
We have to pull out
Start thinking in terms, though, of what it would be like if we were responsible for ourselves and one another again.
Don't you think
that we could do a little better job than
the
federal government's doing?
Crime would be down and everything.
Oh, absolutely. And not only would crime be down, but our way of living, your way of living, would be better than it is now.
I'm going to call you sometime around. Are you around in the week, Tom? I'll call you in your office.
All right. I'm listed.
Okay, great.
And it's been good talking to you,
Joey.
We'll pick up with the other callers whenever we get back here on the Live Free Zone.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Back up and running here on the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer, and we are talking about taxes. And I want to thank Joe for that call from Massachusetts. I think he just set a record on the number and the scope of questions and comments for he called his program thus far. If you have a comment, and particularly it's time to turn in your homework assignment, remember, How does the government, what part of the Constitution gives the government authority to regulate? And if it doesn't have authority to regulate, it has no authority to tax. Your activity, what you do for a living. All right? So, you know, it's, you've had 3 weeks now to get your homework done. So I want to hear from you. You can call in at 1-800-313-9443. Let's talk to John in Tennessee. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing well, Tommy. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you just fine.
All right. You asked, man, there's so much to talk about. But before I do, two things. Thank you for your program, and congratulations on your case.
Well, I have to relay the first to Republic Broadcasting Network. If it were for them, there would be no program. And, you know, we need to support this network. And in a little while, I'll tell everybody how they can chip in a little bit to help make sure that this network is up and running so that we have access to the truth instead of the filtered propaganda that we receive through the media.
Okay, but, now the homework assignment, Tommy, I may, and maybe you can help me answer this, but I drive a truck. I work for a company. I don't own my own equipment.
Uh-huh.
I'm Interstate Commerce.
So are you?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. As an employee of a company that's conducting interstate commerce.
Okay, now you just answered your own question. Are you conducting interstate commerce, or is your employer?
No, the company is.
Okay, so let's scratch that one off the list.
Okay, now here's something that's troubled me for years, and I'm just, like I said, I'm a truck driver. But, you know, it's a funny thing that corporations, Tommy, can yearly, when it comes time, and I'm not union, but when they negotiate contracts, they say, well, a company lost $40 million last year. And you know they didn't. They projected maybe a $80 million profit, and they only made $40 million. So according to them, they lost $40 million. But you and I, or other people that work for a living, something that has bothered me for years is I'm giving 60 hours a week of my life, my sweat, my blood, time away from my family in exchange for a wage.
That's
so to
right.
Me, I have 60 hours invested, and I'm getting what they call just compensation. But if I really wanted to get particular about it, I could say, well, I'm at a loss every week because they're not paying me what I'm worth.
Frankly, I think that we're all at a loss every week, and I'll tell you why. If you stop and think about it, you got to remember, let's use this as a good excuse to give an example of how you can derive income from labor. If I hire you to drive my truck from point A to point B, and I pay you, you know, $200 for that load, I'm charging the cost of my truck plus my cost of your labor plus some extra. So your labor is really selling for more than you're getting. You're making me money. I'm making a profit off
sure,
of your labor.
Because now, you're going to mark up my labor to the customer that
you
you're supplying the service
that,
for.
That's it, exactly. Now, how could I mark up your labor if you're not giving me a wholesale price and I'm selling it at a retail price?
Well, see, we've got this silly thing that we hear so much preached about, you know, this free market economy. But it's funny how, Tommy, it works one-sidedly. For the corporations, and like I said, you know, I'm not a college-educated guy, and I'm definitely not an attorney.
No, but you're making sense, and that's all that this is all about.
Well, see, and what it amounts to is these corporate. When you look at the tax laws, and I run into it when I start telling people, especially on talk radio, when this topic comes up, taxes are for foreign companies, foreign countries, people from foreign countries that are working here, in corporations. That's who